the book of Zephaniah 1, 7 through 18. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, he has invited his guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. In the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate. They will, you inhabitants of Mektesh, it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in the in their complacency, who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor he do evil. Therefore their goods will become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. The theme of the sermon, the day of sacrifice prepared by God. Apostle Arkady writes that in the given prophecy, it is referring to the Lord visiting Jerusalem and its inhabitants, which implies the Lord visiting his church, called the day of the Lord's sacrifice, belonging to the last days, called the harvest. The Lord will visit his church during the time of the harvest, and this will be noted by being called the day of the Lord's sacrifice. God has already prepared the one that is to be called to the sacrifice. These are his friends and his witnesses, and also the one to be sacrificed as the offering. We will study four categories of people who are noted and doomed to slaughter, who are the object of God's judgment. These are first people clothed with foreign apparel, people who leap over the threshold of the house of God, people who are settled in complacency, and people burdened by money. According to Scripture, all four of these categories are the called and in the midst of the Church of Christ and physically fill the churches. However, for their deeds, which do not correspond to the norms of grace, they did not become the chosen, due to which they are doomed to slaughter. Since they, having received salvation from eternal death, did not live as those who are saved, and considering themselves righteous, did not perform the works of righteousness. According to the given prophecy, Pastor Arkady writes, the first category of people that are doomed to slaughter, whom the Lord will visit, are princes, the sons of kings, and also all who put on the clothing of foreign apparel. Zephaniah 1:8, and it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. And so who are these people? And what is this apparel that they're putting on? Symbolically, the princes and sons of the king are people who are carriers of offenses and all forms of deception. They, as it is, possess special privileges in the church, honor, and influence over other people, because of their controlling spirit. Matthew 18:7. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes. And so in these offenses have clothing. The righteous also have clothing. Clothing itself symbolizes righteousness, as well as faith teaching, and consequently a form of living. And so when you see clothing, you can then determine their form of living or form of life. Practically here, it is referring to two forms of righteousness, and also two forms of clothing, and consequently two forms of faith teaching coming from two contrary to one another nature of wellsprings, which come from two genealogies which originate in the Garden of Eden. Therefore, those clothing themselves into foreign apparel are people coming from and trusting upon what they themselves have done, or upon what they themselves are able to comprehend solely with their mind. However, those clothing themselves into the apparel of their own nation are people coming from and trusting upon what God has done for them, or upon what they themselves comprehend with their heart by the means of the mind of Christ. And so the difference between the apparel of those who were called and did not become chosen, and those who were also called but became chosen, all can be determined by their apparel, their clothing. When it's talking about foreign apparel, we are relying upon what we ourselves have done. And how do you determine this? This is when we're trying to comprehend the Word of God, the revelations of God, with our carnal mind. This means that we don't have God's righteousness. The apparel of a righteous nation are those who trust in what God has done. And how do you determine this? When they comprehend the Word, they comprehend it with their heart. Of course, they use their mind as well, but not their carnal mind, but the mind that is renewed with the spirit of our mind. We see the discipline of the renewed mind that is in dependence of the wise heart. And so people who put on the garments of righteousness, they will be witnesses and participants watching how people who clothe themselves into foreign apparel will be put to shame when God will visit them. And this means that all people who rely upon their own personal righteousness, based upon comprehending the scripture solely with the power of their intellect, God has condemned to death and is prepared to blot their names out of the book of life, although in their time they were written there. The time has come, Brother Kadi writes, when God, on a global scale, is starting to lead people to the slaughter who dress in foreign apparel. This is precisely preparation for the sacrifice of the Lord. Our generation has opened the door to this day of harvest, and the destruction that has begun amongst princes and sons of kings in the form of leaders of religious congregations and people who follow them, putting on foreign garments, this destruction will continue to increase until the church completely rids itself from their usurpation. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be clothed into white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Right now, we will sing a psalm, and we will thank God that we have the opportunity to go off of his righteousness and the work of his redemption. And if we do any kind of works, these are works of righteousness, and we determine this by our works following us and not going ahead of us. When works that we do are ahead of us, this means that we are marching to destruction or to hell. And this is shown when we can't forgive one another. This is when we don't fulfill the commandments of God. This is when we replace the secondary with the primary. There are very many different things that can show you the foreign garments or foreign apparel. And this is especially when we use our carnal mind to try to comprehend the scriptures. This is the first way by which Jesus was able to determine that this was a tree that the Heavenly Father did not plant. Because when they heard the word of God, the words of Christ, they did not accept the words that he was saying. The Pharisees, they were tempted. They were those princes that put on foreign apparel. These are the people who are a temptation and weeds which shall be gathered from the church of God. And this is something we will help God with by following his commandments. Let us stand up and participate in this great service. I will happily remind us that every time when the nation of Israel honored God with their tithes and their offerings in the tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon, they were required as a command from Moses, which he received as a revelation from God, to stretch out their hands over their tithes and proclaim a great proclamation, which they were faithful to for thousands of years. We are that same Israel, connected to the same roots, nourished by the same olive tree. We will do the same thing. Please stretch out your hand over your tithes and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so that you may have food within your house. I do not give in sorrow. I do not give in uncleanness. I do not give for the dead. I deeply believe in your unchanging word, and I am glad that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to honor your authority. Now, according to your word, I pray, may your heavenly windows be open to me, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May you be blessed. Please be seated.